Welcome to Deep Dive into Water Safety. We started the show because of the 2025 Water Safety Plan that drew attention to some startling statistics. Hawaii has the second highest rate of drowning in the country. Children 1 to 15, drowning is the number one cause of death. Less than 2% of kids in second grade know anything about water survival skills. And even though Hawaiian natives and Pacific Islanders represent 26% of the population, they represent 37% of drownings. And we also know that our visitors drown at alarming rates, obviously, and mostly from snorkeling. And I've talked to Dwayne DeSoto about things, and he's pretty much said that we have neglected our kids and that investing in our kids, not investing in them, is a liability. Kalei Clark, who I just finished talking to, who is works an epidemiologist at Department of Health, is the young person who actually did the research that showed that Hawaiians were drowning at higher rates than we thought. And Caitlin Thompson brought all that up in Civil Beat, that it wasn't just visitors, but locals were drowning, and for a lot of different reasons. And so that's all really great. And then the governor brought up the fact that in a press conference, and he held up the water safety plan and said, if we all read this and took it to heart, we could save lives. Mike Tipton came on, who is a researcher in UK for the Physiological Institute, just finished the World Climate and Health Summit, which talked about this as a world crisis because of climate change. But he also mentioned that we have an age span here in Hawaii that people could live to maybe 82 is the average age. But if we're losing children at the age of 7, that's 74 years of productive life lost, which was an interesting way to make that point. I know that Ron Cochi asked the Department of Health, well, yes, you want more funding, but what is the cost? What is going on that you can present to us? So there's a lot that's happening, and I think we're just going to keep pursuing this for a local level for people like my next guest, who I'm very excited to have, who is Kaina Makua. Kaina Makua is a farmer, a cultural practitioner, educator who lives in Waimea and has done some amazing work that I want all of our listeners to understand about him, because he'll have a lot to say about that. And then we will get into water safety. He also, you may know the name because he recently finished the successful series called Chief of War as King Kamehameha. His work in Waimea has twofold. He has a nonprofit called Kumana I Ke Ala, which uplifts Native Hawaiian youth through Aina-based education. And he also operates Aloha Aina Poi Company, which distributes thousands of pounds of poi annually, revitalizing kalo farming and strengthening cultural food security. There is a video on your site, which I actually saw 3 years ago, by Sam Potter, which is excellent, and I've passed it around a lot. Before I ever knew you, I paddled for Hanalei Canoe Club, and I knew also the other piece that you do is you coach Kealohana youth, and everybody sees you as a gold standard for that. I've talked too much, but one of the things that Sam said originally, which was, I think, perfect, which he said, kind of is filled to the brim with aloha, cares for his community, and connects with his culture. So welcome, Kaina, to Deep Dive into Water Safety. I think I talked too much, but Now you
Right
can
on.
tell us about what you're doing over in Waimea for all our listeners.
Well, mahalo for the time, Margaret. It's great to meet you yourself. And yeah, water safety, crazy, yeah.
Yeah. But tell me about your organization. We
Yeah, so
everybody needs.
I can start with our organization. So
Yeah.
I am, currently the executive director and co-founder of Kumano Ikiala, also founded by myself and Davis Price, which is a good friend of mine. We formed Kumano Ikiala back in 2015, and it really was a means of survival to an extent. I love teaching. I was a teacher for about 8 years prior to starting Kumano Ikiala, and I had felt that I could create maybe a system that wasn't so much of, bureaucracy and BS involved, and continue to teach and educate, but have a bigger reach and not so much of some crazy boundaries, as we are bounded by some four-wall buildings as teachers. And so 2015, we created Kumano Ikiala, simultaneously creating Aloha'aina Poi Company, which now falls and sits under the umbrella of Kumano Ikiala, and works as a social enterprise for our nonprofit organization. It's basically now the vehicle that takes everything that we farm on about, at the moment, we might have about 100 so acres of land that we're still building out. But Aloha'aina Poi Company has become the vehicle to take all of what we farm on these parcels of land and share it with the world, share it with our community, create some form of economics that will continue to feed into this semi ecosystem that we've created to keep people here, ideally, to keep our community here, to keep our locals here. We look at living, housing. Everything is skyrocketed after COVID-19. And so our whole goal, our whole concept and philosophy is how do we continue to thrive and keep our people here? I mean, livable wages is one thing, housing is another, food sovereignty, indigenous foods, and just being not even Hawaiian, but being human. How do we build great humans? How do we ensure that as we grow as an organization, as we continue to do the good work, how do we keep the good humans good? Where do we build that from? How do we keep them safe? How do we give them all the options in the world so that they can choose what they believe is for them? And it's every day it's a struggle. Every day it's a game changer. It's something we look forward to. And I think for myself, it's so fun because you're building a world that really nobody's seen, but a world that will most likely help to save the world that we live in reality. And so I would just definitely pai pai and encourage those who don't know much about us to check out our website, check out our social handles, Kumano Ikiala. Instagram, Facebook, kumanoikiala.org, and you can find everything you need to know about our organization, and the things that we do. And if that's still not enough, we are located at 4877 Menehune Road. Come and check out our farm. Come and check out our facilities. Everybody is more than welcome. The only thing I would stress is if you do come, be mindful because you may not want to go home. So that's us in a nutshell. And mahalo for having me here. I
Yeah,
appreciate
well,
it.
I'll put that link in our show notes of what we're doing. But I
Awesome.
also, as a caveat, I was doing a live show in a coffee shop in Lihue Friday, and there was a woman sitting next to me who had just moved here. And I told her she should look up your site and go volunteer. And she was all excited about
Oh, awesome. I
it.
appreciate that.
I've told everybody we should all go as a group and sign up and volunteer. I mean, what a special experience that would be for us, for me personally, but for a
You
lot
know,
of
I,
people.
you know, the norm in the sector that we're involved in, the nonprofit sector, it can be daunting at times. It can be challenging, and our whole goal is to not be the crabs in a bucket, but more so remove the bucket. You know, when we talk about funding, when we talk about knowledge, when we talk about sharing our whatever aloha is to our organizations, I'd love to be the one to remove the bucket and just share everything we have with everybody freely.
That seems to be your role model. That's amazing. And I just want to say that work that you're doing that I saw in the video from Sam Potter really inspired me 3 years ago. And because I paddle, I saw the work that you were doing. And so maybe we can talk about, because you have been a coach of the youth, and that you said that's a foundation for their journey, paddling. The mayor was the first person on my show, and he said, "You know," I said, "What's the good news?" He goes, "Well, we have strong Ocean Safety Bureau people." He said, "But I don't think we have the messaging right. We're not getting the messaging right to our visitors." And then, what can we do for the local people in terms of, there used to be water safety in the schools, and now there isn't, and I think there should be. And Dwayne DeSoto, who said his key word was persistence, has got a pilot program going for water safety in a school in his area on the west side. And I think that's going pretty well. But
Yeah, I can imagine. Dwayne is amazing. His wife is amazing. All of his kids, you know, they're really well rooted in Kai and ocean and you know, the different fundamentals of swimming and safety, you know, through all of that. So our programming, I do coach a bunch of kids, a community club called Kilohana Hoiva, and we implement a lot of swimming throughout the summer. So they have like a solid 3 to 4 months of paddling. But if you can't swim, you cannot paddle. And that's my rule of thumb. If you're going in the ocean, no matter what type of vessel, you know, if you're using any kind of craft, you got to know how to swim. And so we take kids, 5 year olds. If they don't know how to swim, we're going to run them to the gauntlet. You know, they're going to learn how to swim. We do swimming lessons basically every Tuesday, Thursdays on fundamentals of swimming, treading water. How to swim, kicking, and you know, all of those. I was actually a swimmer in high school, and so I can kind of I built a semi-curriculum on how to teach kids to swim from not knowing anything about water to learning just how to float, treading water, and then actually swimming some laps in the river, obviously, for us at least. And you know, eventually that gets tailored into when they compete in the Molokai, whether it's Navahine or Molokai Hoi. And you know, we have 12 young youth girls that we've invested in, and they'll be racing this Sunday at Navahine. And so, you know,
Impressive.
and there a lot of them, it's their first time. They're all 15, so they just turned age. They're racing under Kilohana Hoiva, but we have a few different girls from a few different teams that unfortunately didn't have enough girls. And so we put the invitation out to a few of them, and they responded, their parents responded and said they'd be down. And now we have a solid set of 12 girls looking to represent, you know, female athletes and juniors at best, you know. And they've been successful. They've raced in Dad Center. They've raced Ironman at Liliu this year, and they've also done Elauhoi. Luck, you know, as we do some pretty rigorous training, and they have been lucky to have come top 15 in every race.
I know.
And so, you know, it's not a testament to much, but in order to become, in that realm, you get out of the canoe, you tread water for some time, you get into the canoe, and it takes a lot of those fundamental key components to swimming is what they've done extra of. So they're extraordinary, but basically doing the ordinary extra. And now they're able to race in a 41-mile competition against women in a channel that's arguably a crazy, rough, challenging journey, and they'll do it together this Sunday. We can't wait to see. Just crossing the channel alone is going to be amazing for these kids, and we hope to bring more of that in the coming future.
Are you going to be on the boat?
I'll be boat coaching. Yes. Yeah.
So OC paddler will carry it, I assume again.
I think it's what is it?
Ocean paddler.
Ocean paddler. Yeah. Ocean
Yeah.
paddler. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be great. I'm
Yeah. Yeah.
looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
So you've identified what a lot of research now is saying. At least the people from Australia that have been on my show, from the UK, floating is the most important thing to learn how to do. And if we could just start there with that basic survival to be, because you could be a great swimmer and get caught, but if you don't know how to survive, what are the survival skills? So you're just telling me that's what you've done with these girls. And now they're able to do some really challenging work in a So, do you have this in a program that you can share with other clubs?
So I recently started. So our nonprofit has recently started an after school OC1, OC2 rudderless programming, and we have about 12 youth, and they go in the ocean. We've kind of passed the crawling stages of the program as far as swimming, but now they're able to go into the ocean and paddle in some high surf at times. But we have some curriculum that we would love to share with whoever wants to check it out. And it's all, it's just being aware. A lot of it is investing in the kids, and teaching your kids. If you don't know how to teach your kids, I'm sure there's somebody in the community that does know how.
Right.
And I remember, my mom used to tell us, yeah, we never teach y'all for swim. We just threw you in the water, and somehow you came up and floated, and the rest was history.
What is our solution now? I mean, what kind of messaging can we do? I mean, we have this high drowning rate, and Dwayne DeSoto asks why? Why do we have this high drowning rate?
It's be it, and I'm not going. There's not. There's nobody to blame. But my observation is, nobody really investing in kai, in ocean and water in Hawaii. Yeah, we have a nice percentage of it, but there's a huge percentage of kids that don't even compete or do any type of sports related to swimming, or the
That's correct.
ocean, or
That's correct.
water. A lot of our youth are invested in football, baseball, softball, volleyball, that doesn't deal with any type of ocean or water exercises or activities. And I think it should be mandated throughout Hawaii that from kindergarten you need to be in the water.
Yes.
You
Singapore,
know?
you can't graduate unless
I
you
mean,
get through
that
certain
we live on an island, all of us. We all live on islands.
Yes.
We're surrounded by the biggest island, which is the ocean. We
Right.
all should know how to swim or at least float.
Float. We should start with the basics, right? Of
At
water
least, at the
survival.
very least,
There are
you'll have, I've been in Honolulu. I've lived in the city, and you see a lot of kids that they're very protective by their parents, which, we get it. But how do we, like you said, how do we create safe, not safety, but how do we give the kids
Yeah.
strength and bravery when there's
Yes.
times of fear?
Yes.
Yeah, control. And all those little nuances of being in the ocean that makes us a lot afraid. Not a little, a lot.
The guy in the UK who's part of the surf life saving group, David Samuel, and he has something called sandhoppers. It's a program they just started, 5 to 7 year old kids, but it's not just the kids, it's their parents also. Because a lot of times the parents don't have the knowledge about the ocean, right? And so if you can get them comfortable, it seems to be a very cool program. And it's not, this is what we're going to do to teach swimming. It's getting you comfortable in the ocean, floating, going underwater, all those kinds of things. And it seems to be very successful.
Yeah, it sounds like it. In a controlled environment is definitely where you should start. So somewhere like, Kauai, we have salt pond. We
Yes.
have a lot of rivers, and that's really good places to start with.
Right. So you think it should be mandated. So that's our issue,
All
isn't
the
it?
way.
Yeah.
We live on an island.
So why are we having such a problem getting it back into the school system?
It's crazy. It's mind-boggling on so many levels and for so many things. And swimming is really just the tip of the spear, I feel like, that is causing a lot of these either near deaths or death situations. Just uneducated. And
So if we start right now and we have all these visitors coming in, is there any message or campaign? Because I see you, Dwayne, and Kalei Clark coming up with some good messaging. I think it should involve the culture of Kauai because the messaging we've had so far, I guess it's been okay, but nobody's really paying attention to it, I don't think. And they don't know what a rip is, a rip current. Most research will say in Australia, when I had Bruce Hopkins on, who's from Bondi Rescue, he started that show. He goes, nobody understands what a rip is. And everybody thinks in Australia that we know everything about the ocean. We're swimmers. We have some guys that went to the Olympics, but most of our country does not has no swimming ability.
It's crazy, Crazy
Yeah.
to think about that.
So he has started this very interesting project where he takes people into a rip to get them to experience it.
That's awesome. And
Because,
guide them and be around there to guide them. Oh,
yes.
that's great. That's
Yeah.
you got to put them in the worst situation in order to get
And
them
that's what you do
strong.
in your work. That's exactly what you do.
Oh, yeah, all the way. All the way.
Yes, to appreciate their culture, the land, everything that you're doing in farming. And it's connected to the ocean. So, Kalani Vieira
That's
was
the
big.
guy.
Yeah,
That's the guy right there.
he was all excited about this. He goes, Margaret, I'm willing to collaborate. Let's bring this guy out. And, with his image of who he is, train some people and get some people in the ocean because our messaging, like everybody else's, stay calm. He says, well, that's an action. What is it? That's not an action. That's a word. What does that mean? Right. And the rips are all different. They're not just a straight mushroom, which now the research is showing. So there's a lot to learn. And there's some people in the UK that would like to exchange lifeguards from there to here just to learn about different issues that we all have.
Yeah, that's cool. Kalani Vieira, he's an amazing guy, but amazing waterman. He was also in Chief of War. He had one. He had a couple of lines that was amazing,
He
but
did.
he was in there.
What did he say? I've watched the entire.
What
What
was it?
episode was he in? Do you know?
I think
I'll
it
go.
was. I like to say it's episode 7. I never really watch them because I don't like hearing myself talk, so I never really watch them.
You
But
don't like.
yeah, he was in them and he did well. But 3 years ago, we were blessing our first. What's it called? The light canoes, ultra unlimited canoe.
Yes.
We were blessing it, and we named it Kaulakahi, which is Kaulakahi is the channel between Kauai and Niihau. But Kalani was one of the guys who was on a jet ski escorting us across to Niihau and back. And
Wow.
we took about 60 of our youth and adults, and we all paddled in pieces, like half an hour pieces. To Niihau, it turned around and came right back. So we had kids that were 5-year-olds, to all the way to like 40, 50-year-old people. But that was the blessing for our first unlimited canoe named after the channel. And Kalani was there, and that was really, you can tell the guy, he invested in water safety to the max. That guy is something else.
He's a he's been on a board with me, and now he's president of the Hawaii Lifeguard Association. So
All
yeah,
right on.
I have
The best man right there.
have a lot of respect for him. But getting back to you and what you're doing, I think you gotta take a role with Duane and do something about this water safety. I think Hawaii should lead at least the United States in water safety, and
Oh, yeah.
also be a leader in global water safety. And I really am going to give you Mike Tipton's information about
Okay.
being part of the Global Climate and Health Summit, which
Wow.
summit means people who are involved in all different things. And it's got to do with what's happening about the temperatures, food sustainability, right? And how, as an infrastructure, we're going to survive. So
Mean,
I
that's
think
awesome.
you would be a phenomenal person involved in that.
Yeah, I'd love to be involved. I'm super busy, but anything
Oh, you are?
to be yeah, that's a smidge.
Know, and you just took the time. So I don't want to take too much time. I will.
Ah, good.
So you're telling me that the message should be that we should be
It should be
in
mandated
control.
all the way
Say that
into all of
again.
our schools. It should be mandated in our schools for sure.
Have you reached out to the governor and told him this?
Not
I
yet.
have. I think you should. And I think, as I told Duane, Duke Aloha, Ambassador of Aloha, should be required viewing by anybody who comes to the islands,
Oh yeah.
along with Chief of War now, except
Yeah, they
that.
should. I fly pretty frequently because I gotta travel everywhere. Not everywhere, but a lot of places in our island. And I've seen Kalani Vieira talking about water safety, and they get videos at the airport.
Right.
But it's only on Kauai. It should be, I feel like it should be mandated all over every
Yes.
airport. When you come in, you're hearing about water safety. You've seen visuals of what a rip current looks like.
Right.
And not to scare people, but really to just be mindful.
Yes.
If you're not a really good swimmer and never been in a rip current, you probably shouldn't go swimming for a little.
Point.
And have more places where they can, teach people freely, visitors especially, teach them freely on how to handle those situations.
Now that's a good point. So maybe we have Bruce Hopkins come over here and we get some visitors off the beaches and we give them the chance to experience it. Things like that. That could make a lot of sense, right? I have a question for you. But I didn't have time to Kapua Sproat, who's an attorney here, didn't have time to get back to me. But the question I have is in episode 6, which you haven't watched. It was called the law of the.
Splintered paddle.
Thank you. I want to know, and that's a law that's in the state constitution. I don't know a whole lot about it. That's why I was asking her. Can that apply to water safety if we're talking about.
Safety.
Yes.
I'm not sure on the policies for law, but I would think that we could definitely ad that could be definitely adopted in the same respects for water safety. And I think we just have to work on some of the verbiage.
Can you explain a little bit more to our listeners what we're talking about? Can
Yeah,
you?
so Mamalahua, the law of the splintered paddle was a law that Kamehameha created after being hit on the back of the head with a paddle by some farmers, as they believed that he was an outsider and threatening to either steal, kill, or do some type of harm to whatever community he visited. And so he created a law called the Law of the Splintered Paddle, because the paddle broke on the back of his head or his back, and And the law was no one should harm, no one is allowed to harm elders, people without homes, people on the side of the road, kids, and that everyone, should really live in community and fellowship. So that's the gist of Mama Lahore. And yeah, so looking at that and comparing that to safety in the ocean would be just some things that we'd have to fine tune as far as verbiage. Yeah, it's pretty it was pretty epic because, regardless of your stature, according to Kamehameha, regardless of your stature, you could be on chief. It's not your right to go and harm people, steal pe from people, and so he created this law that was it was groundbreaking at the time, and even till today, you can understand it thoroughly. You can feel them. You can you can actually buy into that ideology, that philosophy, that Kamehameha, because he was right. Not Kamehameha, but the farmer that hit him was on the right,
Yeah.
was just defending his home. And unfortunately, the highest chief at the time was the guy that took the hit. And for him to come out and say he was in the wrong, that's pretty awesome of a man to do that. Yeah.
That's why the culture, the Hawaiian culture, which was far ahead in women's rights and
Oh, yeah.
anti-slavery, your culture is very special and should be part of the messaging in water safety, in my opinion. We've kind of lost that connection, is what Dwayne said, to the ocean. We've lost that connection and we're not investing in our young people like we should. And as you said, we're surrounded by water. So
Know, I would say, man, how do we mandate that? How do we create more spaces where people can feel comfortable in water and mindful and intelligent enough and educated enough to make the right decisions? I mean, if you're looking at the ocean and it's howling rip currents at 20 knots, I don't know, making up some stuff, but
Right.
there's some white caps. It'd probably be a great idea that you not get in. Challenging your abilities to something that we have no control or understanding thoroughly about should caution you to not go out. And so educating and also making the right decisions upon what you have observed. And classes with observations is very big too.
Yeah.
Sitting on the, I make, all of our youth that paddle and all of our youth that is involved with our program, or any of our programming, they sit on the beach, at least half an hour at a time, just to observe the current, just to observe really all the currents, the wind. And that's big also. That's like the very first fundamental of being one with ocean and kai and in the water. It's very important. I used to hear stories of Eddie Aikau doing the same, and so I kind of implemented that when I first took over the canoe club by the original founders, and that was one of the things I stressed. You're sitting over here until you can tell me what's happening out there. And even when you know what's happening, you can visually see what's happening. It's not enough for me, to confirm that you understand, to confirm that you can be safe. Now you got to go in there and you can tread some water. And then you got to learn. And I'm going to be right on the side waiting to catch you if you need help. And that's some of the things people know invest in. It's, yeah. I think Dwayne said it, hit it right on the nail. People, we're not invested in that. And I think, yeah, I know we should. We should have more of that everywhere. Every canoe club should have one. Every surfing team should have that. Every water polo team should be able to go in the ocean and understand it. Anybody that deal with water, it should definitely have the first crack. The kids, at least, they should have the first crack at understanding the ocean to that extent, and wherever it leads from there, somehow mandate it as much as possible.
Right. So do
Even
you?
in our sports, it should be
Right.
mandated. It's a great cross-training tool also. So if you're a football player, go do some laps in the pool, go help your joints. It's injury prevention. It's going to help with a lot of things. We just don't look at it as a, we don't, we got away from looking at all of our sports being circular, where if you're playing football and you're swimming, they're actually helping each other. If you're doing a sport that is hard on your joints, swimming alleviates that and prevents injuries. I mean, but we don't think in that mindset, and I believe our people from Hawaii understood all of those little nuances of, the physicality of humans.
So we have to get that back, that messaging back.
Yeah, I
And
believe so.
the work that you do appears to me, is it written down this, or do you just have this in your head as being a waterman?
What we're talking about now, I definitely have it written down. It's not entirely built out like a curriculum, but it's things that I'll teach every season that arrives for paddling, and any of our programming. Like we run fall programming, spring programming, winter and summer at our farms, and the kids will do the same, even though they're at a farm on land. It's still going in the water to swim every once in a while, so they got to know all these things. Yeah. It's a lot of work, but somebody got to
Yeah, but you need more of you, as you said.
I agreed.
So maybe you have to take this to another level because it's kind of frustrating to see what we've got going here. And
Yeah,
with your best,
37% is high.
yeah, it's way too high.
It's crazy.
And it shouldn't be like that. Would you suggest doing any different kind of messaging for visitors now? Have you thought about that at all? That might
You
make a
know,
difference?
we'll definitely make some strides in that realm of messaging and water safety. We would love to even, grab some segments from what has already been created. In a lot of the voiceovers that I see Kalani has done, and run that through our, social media platforms, but also make it I see TikTok. I don't see it, but I see my kids on TikTok. That's some of the things that they could use on TikTok everywhere. You got to buy into this new version of youth education and youth. They call that when they're very
Focused.
focus on whatever they're focused on, and at the moment TikTok is the thing. And so I think we gotta start making some strides and some TikTok videos where people can learn and simplify it to a degree, but give them the time to also see the craziness of what the ocean can be.
Right, based
Yeah.
on your culture, which I
Yeah.
think is really important. Okay, so you're willing to do that.
Yeah, we'll probably start to dabble, not dabble, but we'll probably start to do that. We have a full-time social media specialist that does a lot of our social media. So we'll definitely have some conversations around that
Oh,
and see
good.
where that brings us.
Oh, that's great. Well,
Yeah.
that's really good news. And for you're saying for young children. Now, how about something for the governor?
Yeah, like as if he's the one learning. You know,
Well,
it would be the same grounds. I don't really separate the age of a person, or even the education and intelligence or physicality of a person that knows or may know, or is, strong enough for the ocean. But it's always, regardless of your abilities and your education, you should always be a humble person to the ocean, because as great as you are, I mean, we've seen it in many of our stories. Eddie Aikau was one of them. and many more that it don't really matter how good, how strong, how smart you are, because the wrong decision can always happen. The gut feeling decision might be the right one, might be the wrong one. But how do we create a space with the highest percentage of chance of the best one, the best decision? And that's really the thought behind this for me.
That would make a good message. Seriously,
Yeah, you're right.
you could talk about stats all day long, but the stories really people relate to. You tell a
Yeah.
story, and people might think about how that could affect them when they are in the ocean, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Colette Clark asked me to ask you a question. Do you know who he is?
No, I don't know.
He was born in Aotearoa. He grew up in Aotearoa, New Zealand,
Oh,
and
right
he
on.
is the great grandnephew of Duke Kahanamoku.
No way.
Yeah.
Wait, what's his name?
John Kalei Clark. He has a very long middle name, but he goes by Kalei. And he came back here to study, and how he learned about that was somebody there over a cup of coffee was telling him about his work working with the Maori population. So he came here and did his master's thesis on understanding indigenous population here and came up with this data that helped him understand what was going on, even though you may have known. So that was kind of interesting. And he just finished the Epic Maui Challenge because he's a he did that. He said he would never do it again, but anyway.
Decathlon or something, huh? Not decathlon. What is it?
They had to swim around the whole island,
Oh my
you know,
gosh.
with the ocean conditions and the health of the ocean. So they were taking samples of the ocean
Wow.
along the way, and it was swimmers from all over the world. So anyway,
Unreal.
yeah. So after my interview, I told him you were going to come on, and he said, "Could I ask a question?" I said, "Well, of course." Here's the question from Kalei. What is next for Ka Lehui? Did I pronounce that right?
For Kalahui, what is next for our people? What is next for Hawaiian
Could
people?
talk about water safety. I
You know, I what is next for all of our Lahui? I'm gonna leave with this, I think. My good friend of mine, Nick Tilson, he runs NDN Collective. It's what is it? Native American organization. And he said this in one of his conference presentations, as he was one of the keynote speakers, and he said, "We got to create more new ceremonies, create new ceremonies, and whatever that looks like." It really was, to me, I was like, wow, yeah, it's cool, because we have ceremonies that we do now that have been created hundreds of years ago for that time, for that era, but nothing that we've created now. And and thinking about that, and thinking about our conversation now, yeah, it's a ceremony, this. We trying to create a positive impact on our swimming community, on the ocean, and make it global. How do we do that? How do we ensure that everyone buys into the ceremony, whatever that ceremony looks like and is, whether it's spreading awareness, whether it's actually doing the do and teaching the youth, it's still in a way a ceremony. And how do we ensure that everybody is level-headed, understands their role, understands their kuleana, so that we can all be well educated, make the right choice at the right time, at the very high percentage, and decrease those numbers, maybe even get it to nothing one day. I don't know, but it's a ceremony nonetheless, and that would be my pitch, and that would be my answer to to John's question, Clay's question, create more ceremonies of our time.
That's a great answer, actually.
Yeah.
One last thing. The what is it called? The law of the three-legged stool or something? I just think when I look at you with the work you do in the land and what you do with the youth and what you do with the Poi Company, and then I look at Duane and what he's doing with water safety, particularly. Then I look at Kalei, who's come on and say, I really want to dig more into Indigenous populations. I want to know more, and I want to know how they can be, have a bigger voice. And just like his question stated to you. So I think you're part of that. If I see the seat as water safety, I see three legs of that stool, each one of you representing that piece. I think there's probably many more people that you would involve in that, but I
Oh
think
yeah.
what you're saying about ceremonies, that's a great message. I'd like to see you continue, even though you're working so hard with what you're doing, collaborating with them and then collaborating on a world level, which I will give you Mike Tipton's information. And
Awesome.
then Bruce Hopkins comes over. We'll let you know that also with Kalani.
Yeah. Let me know. Keep me posted.
One last thing. Your work that you're doing with the kids, would you share that piece of water safety with a group that I paddle with at Hanalei Canoe Club, which is an older group of people? We have like four full canoes. We
Yeah.
paddle Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A lot of us used to race competitively.
Oh, man.
And so I have them all on Team Reach, but that would be a one. It was kind of a struggle to begin with, but
Oh yeah,
now.
it starts off
Thank you.
that
So now I've got that many people. So, and I have an ocean safety officer for our club now, one of the lifeguards, and I want to
All
do a
right on.
safety plan for the club. But that would be great because when you started talking about sitting on the beach and looking at the ocean, that would be, those kinds of things would be great for people that maybe don't have as much experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we can share that.
Well, kind of. Bakua, thank you so much. I will put all the information about, I got to say this correctly, Kamano Ikiala. How
Yep,
do I say that?
Kumano. Yeah, Kumano Ikiala.
Okay. And the Aloha Aina Poi Company, I will put all that information on. And of course, you're on Facebook, Instagram, and all the social media. But everybody should take the time to look at your site. I'll also put the video on Aloha Aina that's also on your site.
Right
And people should
on.
support what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And
Mala market, appreciate
I appreciate you coming on because I know your time is limited. I took way more
it.
time.
It's all good. All right.
Okay, we'll be in touch. I'll send
All
you
right.
for
Take
Mike.
care of
Bye.
yourself.
Okay,
Aloha.
you too. Bye.